Music and the Muse. Music resembles poetry. In each are nameless graces which no methods teach, and which a master hand alone can reach. Music and the Muse, blending the magic of poetry, read by Janet Logan, with Thomas Mancini's violin. Music and the Muse, for those who follow the star of dreams.
Good evening, everyone. This is Janet Logan. John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, who died 100 years ago, was given to writing light verse on occasion. We open our poetry department with one of his called Pens. In days of yore, the poet's pen from wing of bird was plundered, perhaps of goose, but now and then from Jove's own eagle sundered. But now, metallic pens disclose alone the poet's numbers. In iron, inspiration glows, or with the poet, slumbers. November is quite appropriate for this autumn thought, Red Apples in a Dish, by James Clifton Townsend. Red Apples Chair. A log of eucalyptus is blazing high. A calmly ticking clock beside the stair. And book-filled table, too, is here close by. And there across the hearth is where you sit, with tiny slippered feet upon a stool. And glancing from my book, I watch you knit or hold the yarn or help you find a spool. What artist gone, or one who yet shall come, has greater art than this? A perfect home. Mm-hmm. Leonora Spear has written a melancholy bit, Tears for Sale. I wept a tear like a little tune, a tear for an ache to croon, a quiet tear that lay on grief like dew on a desperate leaf. I chose cool words that spoke of fire, metaphor matched desire. I chose light words that spoke of pain in glib iambic strain. I chose two nouns and an adjective to make my pale tear thrive. I urged my tear to an unctuous rhyme and sold it for a dime. I sold that tear that wept for you. It's a thing that poets do. Kitchen Militaire by Ethel McDermott Johnston. My ego dons a uniform, red striped, white stars on blue, for a company of fruit-filled jars is standing in review. Cheek to cheek, the apricots peek out from golden jars, and whiny loganberries wait for pies with crisscross bars. The apple butter, darkly thick, holds spice from every land. A company of fruit-filled jars salute at my command.
From Hollywood's Radio City, we are bringing you Music and the Muse, a program of poems read by Janet Logan and the music of Thomas Mancini, violinist, and his ensemble.
For Remembrance by Edith Hope. I do not need a treasured note, a faded flower to remember you, or heed a thread of some old melody to hear your voice. For I remember soft, still nights like these, when tinsel stars were etched in purple dark, and quivering music rose from ebbing tides below in restless dream songs. Quicksilver, light. I remember warm young flesh against my heart, and the sudden clinging magic of a kiss, when spinning stars fell like petal dust into the surge of years. I do not need impassioned lines across a page to remember you. I do not need remembrances that I can touch. For who can touch a dream as frail as mist? Of Cyrus Brown by Sam Walter Foss, American editor and humorist of a half century ago. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pinting down. And I made a prayer right then and there. Best prayer I ever said. Yep, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head. Thomas Wolfe calls this poem To Keep Time With. What is this dream of time? This strange and bitter miracle of living? Is it the wind that drives the leaves down bare paths fleeing? Is it the storm-wild flight of furious days? The storm-swift passing of the million faces all lost, forgotten, vanished as a dream? Is it the wind that howls above the earth? Is it the wind that drives all things before its lash? Is it the wind that drives all men like dead ghosts fleeing? Is it the one red leaf that strains there on the bough and that forever will be fleeing? All things are lost and broken in the wind. The dry leaves scamper down the path before us. In their swift-winged dance of death, the dead souls flee along before us, driven with rusty scuffle before the fury of the demented wind. And November has come again. Has come again. What is this strange and bitter miracle of life? Is it to feel when furious day is done, the evening hush, the sorrow of lost, fading light, far sounds and broken cries, and footsteps, voices, music, and all lost, and something murmurous, immense and mighty in the air? And we have walked the pavements of a little town and known the passages of barren night and heard the wheel, the whistle, and the tolling bell and lain in the darkness, waiting, giving to silence the huge prayer of our intolerable desire. And we have heard the sorrowful silence of the river in November. And what is there to say? Autumn has come again. Has come again. And this world, this life, this time are stranger than a dream. May it not be that someday from this dream of time, this chronicle of smoke, this strange and bitter miracle of life, in which we are moving, and phantasmal figures, we shall awake, knowing our father's voice upon the porch again, the flowers, the grapevines, the low, rich boon of waning August, and the tolling bell. And instantly to know we live, that we have dreamed and have awakened, and find then in our hands some object like this, real and palpable, some gift out of the lost land and the unknown world, as token that it was no dream, that we have really been there. And there is no more to say. For now November has come back again. The strange and lonely month comes back again. And you will not return. Up on the mountains, down in the valley, deep, deep in the hill, cold, cold to keep time with. Thank you. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "All men are poets at heart." This is Janet Logan saying goodbye. Until next week.
As the strains of melody fade away to join with other pleasant memories, again Music and the Muse has ended. Featured with Thomas Mancini, violinist, were William Sobranski, organist, Ray Kramer, cellist, and Catherine Julier, harpist. Poems read by Miss Janet Logan were Pens by John Quincy Adams, Red Apples in a Dish by James Clifton Townsend, Tears for Sale by Leonora Spear, Kitchen Militaire by Ethel McDermott Johnston, For Remembrance by Edith Hope Janay, The Prayer of Cyrus Brown by Sam Walter Foss, and To Keep Time With by Thomas Wolfe. Musical numbers included Don't Let Me Dream, Loring, Home Sweet Home, Bishop, I Cried for You, Arnheim, Hush Little Darlin', Hames, March of the Tin Soldiers, Pierney, Something to Remember You by Schwartz, I'll See You in My Dreams, Jones, Fleurette, Herbert, and Adagio, Beethoven. Music and the Muse was edited by John Kraft and directed by William Verdier. This program was presented from Hollywood's Radio City. John Storm speaking. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.